الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continuing the chapter the author he had mentioned رحمه الله تعالى with regards to the affair of التحاكم and taking someone as a judge to solve the disputes between individuals. We have seen that this chapter is related to the previous chapter, both of them with regards to lawazim al-tawheed, the requirements of al-tawheed, and that the one who purifies the tawheed properly and establishes the shahadatain and the manner required, this will necessitate for them to believe that the legislation is in the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is His right purely to legislate and to declare halal and haram, to declare that which is permissible and impermissible, and that the obligation of obedience, absolute obedience, is the right of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The previous chapter with regards to the affair of التشريع and legislating halal and haram, and that the obedience is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise for His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's not allowed to obey anyone in disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this chapter is with regards to taking judges, and need someone to judge in the dispute. So we have the issue of ruling with other than that which Allah has revealed. This masala is known as al-hukmu bighayri ma anzal Allah. So there are those governments, those individuals and people who they rule and they judge with other than that which Allah has revealed, any in conflict and contradiction to that which Allah has revealed. This is one issue. The issue in this chapter is not this issue specifically, but the issue related to those who go to others, those who go to others to solve their disputes, those who go to those people who rule with other than the rule of Allah to solve their disputes. So this chapter is with regards to any of the general population of the people. There are those who rule with other than that which Allah has ruled, and then there are those who go to them to have their disputes solved and resolved. So the issue of at-tahakum is this issue here. Whenever a person, he will dispute with another person, and then he will go to someone to solve his dispute for him. What is incumbent now is to go to the one who solves the dispute according to the Quran and the Sunnah, the one who will rule in the situation according to the Quran and the Sunnah. As for going to other than that, any to those who rule with other than the Quran and the Sunnah, then these affairs, they have proceeded. Than these affairs that have proceeded in our previous class. You can review them any quickly or briefly. So this is the issue now of التحاكم. The people of knowledge, they say, it's الترافع لمن يحكم في الخصومات. يعني to take one's dispute to someone who will judge between them in the affairs. If there's a dispute between a person or between people or groups of people, then to take that dispute to someone to solve that for them, this is the issue of التحاكم. And we have seen that the people with regards to this affair, there are three categories. The first affair is that they will take it to the one who will solve their dispute, any according to the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is what is obligatory, and this is justice, and this is the correct way. And then there are those who will take their dispute to those who will rule between them with other than the Quran and the Sunnah, which is in conflict and in contradiction to that which is found in the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is disbelief. And there are details with regards to that. And this is contrary to at-tawheed in entirety. And the obligation is to rule and take to solve one's disputes any with the book and with the Sunnah, any restrictedly. And then there are another circumstance. Whenever one will solve his disputes with something that is not found in the Quran or in the Sunnah, any meaning from the man-made laws, but it's not in conflict or contradiction. It's not in conflict or contradiction to the Quran and to the Sunnah. Rather, it's in the affairs that the Quran and the Sunnah did not mention, and it's not in opposition to that likewise. And in this case here, it is allowed and permissible. It is allowed and permissible. For example, the rules that have been set and the laws and regulations with regards to traffic, the traffic rules, and if there is a dispute with regards to these affairs, and one, he solves his dispute with these judgments that are set in place for the preservation of the society and for the betterment of the people and for the justice to be served in the society, and it's not in conflict whatsoever with the Quran and the Sunnah, then this is allowed and permissible and is actually from the legislation, because the intent from ruling and making the judgment with the Quran and the Sunnah is to judge with justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ. So this is the case here, to judge with justice. So in this case, this would be considered judging with justice. So therefore, it's allowed. And the issue here in this topic, in this chapter, it is with regards to the one who is judging with other than the rule of Allah. The one who goes to solve their disputes to the one who judges with other than the rule of Allah. So we have the issue of the one who judges with other than the rule of Allah, and we have the one who goes to that person to solve his disputes. Which one are we discussing? The second one. The one who goes to that person to solve his disputes. The one who goes to that person to solve his disputes. So the one who goes there, and he's in different circumstances and different situations. There could be the one who will go there, any to other than, to the one who rules with other than the rule of Allah to solve his disputes, while he detests the legislation, and while he finds fault with that. This is major disbelief. Why would he go to someone to rule and to judge in his affair with other than the rule of Allah? Because he detests the rule of Allah, and he dislikes that, and he finds that it's deficient, and the likes like this, then this is major disbelief. Then this is a major disbelief. And likewise, the one who goes to rule to someone to rule between him, any of those who rule with other than the rule of Allah, and he believes that that rule is better. He believes that that rule is better, and he doesn't dislike the rule of Allah, but he believes that the rule and the law of the land is better, and that the man-made laws and these laws are better and more suitable for our times than the rule of Allah. And likewise, this one is major disbelief. And the third affair that we had discussed in the previous class is the one who believes that the rule of Allah is good. He believes that it's good, but it's equal with the rule of the land. They're the same. You can rule with this one or you can rule with that one. This one likewise is major disbelief. This one likewise is major disbelief. And he believes that they're equal. And then the fourth situation is whenever a person, he would choose to go to someone who rules with other than the rule of Allah and other than the judgment of Allah, and he believes that the rule of Allah is better and best and most just, but he believes it's allowed to rule with other than the rule of Allah. He believes it's permissible and allowed for him to go to those who rule with other than the rule of Allah. This one likewise is major disbelief. This one likewise is major disbelief. And the people of knowledge, they remind here at this circumstance or in this situation that like the previous chapters as well, this is clarifying the ruling of the action and not the individual. This is clarifying the ruling of the action and not the individual. As for the individual, the specific person who fell into these affairs, then he has a different methodology and manner of declaring the ruling upon him. Whether the ruling and the judgment of disbelief will be applied to a specific individual, then this is another issue and another affair. And there are other conditions and rule and rulings I need to establish that. What is being discussed now is the action itself. And then the fifth circumstance and situation is whenever a person, he believes that the rule of Allah is just and the best, and it's an obligation to rule by that, and it's not allowed to rule by other than that. And the one who goes to someone to rule in his affair other than the rule of Allah, then he believes that he's sinning. He believes that he's sinning, but he does it following his desires. He does it following his desires. Then this one is a major sin. Lesser than disbelief. The example of that was? The one who borrows some money. A man, he borrows some money. For example, he borrowed $500, but with the condition he's going to pay back 1,000. Somebody loaned somebody else some money, but he would not loan the money except with interest. So he loaned him $500, but the person had agreed to pay him back 1,000 after a year, and they fell into a dispute. So the one who loaned the money, he knows now if he took his affair to the Muslim judge, to the Muslim courts, then they're only going to rule for him the money that he loaned, the original money, without the interest. But his heart is attached to this money, and he's lusting for this affair. So he knows that it's haram, interest is haram, but he fell into it anyways, following his desires. And now he wants that $500, and he wants any his so-called right. And he knows if he goes to the Muslim judge, he will not get it. So therefore, he will go to another judge to judge in his affair. Well, he knows that he's sinning. Well, he knows that he's wrong, but he did it following his desires. But he did it following his desires. He goes to other than someone to dispute, to solve his dispute. And he knows that they do not rule in the judgment of Allah. Then this is a major sin, and it is lesser. And it is lesser than disbelief. It is lesser than disbelief. And likewise, we discussed in the previous class the issue of going to someone to solve the dispute, someone who rules with other than the rule of Allah in a time of necessity. In a time of necessity. And the people of knowledge, they differ with regards to this, but what is correct is that if it's a dire necessity, inshallah, it's allowed. A dire necessity, inshallah, it's allowed. And this would be, for example, wallahu a'lam. Sah, that was before that, there was one that's more severe. That's right. There's more severe. The most severe, the most dire circumstance is when somebody, he takes a person to court. He takes him to court. For example, there are two people, a Muslim and a non-Muslim, they have a dispute. And the non-Muslim, he summons the Muslim to court. Now he has no choice except to go. Now he has no choice except he's forced to go. He's forced to go. He has no choice. So therefore he will go. But there are conditions also. And the other circumstance we mentioned is whenever two people, a Muslim, he has a business, does some contract or business with a non-Muslim, and then they fall into a dispute. They fall into a dispute, and there's no way for the Muslim to get his right except for to take him to court. There's no way to get his right and now except for to take him to the Muslim judge. If the Muslim takes the non-Muslim to the Muslim judge, he won't come. He won't come. If he takes him to, so he has to, in order to get his right, he has to take him to the non-Muslim judge. And he may be in circumstances, wallahu a'lam, the divorce will be handled in if the people they married in the courts, they're going to have to go to the courts to get any of that resolved. But the judgment is not considered in the non-Muslim court. The marriage is established in Islam. This is the contract that's valid. As for the contract that somebody made after the Islamic contract, and then they took it to the court and got it approved in the court, married in the American system, for example. This is just to establish their rights in the land. So this is what this contract is not considered in Islam. It's a contract that's going to bring benefit for them, so that they have rights in the land and the likes like that, and the wife is a recognized wife, and so on and so forth, and they will have the benefits of that. But the contract is not recognized in that Islam, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. But in these circumstances here, this is what we discussed in our previous class. So it's allowed in these situations now, with conditions. The first condition was that a person, he will go while he detests that. That if he's forced to go, either way, he will go while he detests that. He hates the fact that he's going to go to this court, and he's going to deal with his people. He's going to sit in this room. He's going to take his affair to this judge. All of this, he does not like that in his heart whatsoever. He's only going because of necessity. So he goes while he dislikes that. And then after that, the other condition that was mentioned is that it has to be something that is established. It has to be any of the harm, and the problem has to be a present. It can't be something that somebody thinks that might happen, that possibly is going to happen. Like some of the sisters, they say whenever they get divorced, oh, my husband, he's not going to pay, he's not going to feed my children, or he's not going to do this, and he's not going to do that. So she'll go to the court and establish child support, and put any child support against him, and going to the courts and the likes like this, when it could have been sufficient to go to the masjid and to talk to the imam and to establish that any between the two of them. And many times you will find that the problems between the husband and wife, it has nothing to do with him feeding his children or clothing his children. But she would do this in order to spite him or to get back at him, or because she has some bad thoughts about him. But it's not something that's established. So therefore, it's not allowed to do that. And this is a dangerous affair. So the issue has to be established. It can't be something that somebody's expecting, or something that is a delusion, or something that could possibly happen. La, it has to be yani darar muhaqqaq. The harm has to be established. Likewise, the harm has to be major. It has to be major. Sheikh Suleiman, he mentioned it can't be for like $10,000, $20,000. He's like, this one right here, this is something that people, they just have to deal with that. They bear the burden of that, and they deal with the hardship of that. It has to be a major amount of money. And this is the exact example he mentioned, $10,000, $20,000. The people, they just, take these types of losses. As for like a major amount of money, 100, 1,000 or more, something that would be devastate a person, and the likes like this, this is the time whenever it would be allowed. The point is, it has to be something major. It can't be a minor affair. You're going to go to these courts for a minor affair. That has to be something that he's not able to bear, the loss. The harm is going to harm him in a great manner. And this is the third condition. And likewise, there has to not be any other way. Any other way out except for this way. For example, if there is an imam or student of knowledge who's reliable in his knowledge and his manners, his creed, his methodology, and the likes like that, and he can solve the dispute, it's an obligation to go to him, or to the imam, or to the Islamic center, to the masjid, and the likes like this. If this is available and this is present, then it's an obligation to go to him first and to solve the dispute here. It's not allowed to go to the courts. Going to the courts now while this person is established here, this is this affair here. التحاكم إلى غير ما أنزل الله. التحاكم إلى من يعني يحكم بما يخالف الشرع. This is going to solve your dispute to those people who rule with other than the rule of Allah. With those people who rule with other than the rule of Allah. You have no excuse for this. We have no excuse for this. So if it can be solved in another way, then it's an obligation to solve it in that way, and to not take it to the courts who rule and judge with other than the rule of Allah. And again, this point is related directly to Tawheed. And one of the most apparent examples I'm familiar with in this affair is the issue of divorce, and the issue of the children, and the issue of the sister going to court, and taking her husband to court for child support, or for this one, or for that one. And there are many other examples, but this one is very common. And this is something that the sisters, they should realize, that their tawheed is in danger. They're violating the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is not something that is light. This is not something that is allowed. This is not something that is from the deen. This is something in conflict entirely with the shahada, and la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. So therefore, a sister should have to be patient and trust and rely upon Allah, and then take the means that are legislated. Go to the imam and discuss the affair with him, and then he can go to the brother and to the people around the brother and discuss the affair with him and come to an agreement between the two of them that he's going to give this much, or he's going to do that, or he's going to see the children on this day and she's going to have them on that day, or whatever the case may be, to handle that outside of those courts. This is the obligation. Outside of those courts, this is the obligation. And to take it to those courts will only be allowed in certain dire circumstances. And this is not something that is light. You find in these days, some sisters, they get advice from lowlives. They get advice from fools. They get advice from people who have no right to give advice, and the likes like this, and they'll go to sisters who advise them, oh, you need to take him to court, and this is why when I took him to court, I got this and I got that, and subhanAllah, and this is falsehood, this is falsehood, and when getting advice about anything in the religion, it has to be from people who are qualified, people who are known for piety, people who are known for knowledge, people who are known for having just and beneficial speech and statements and positions and actions and conduct, not people who are reckless and judge with their desires and their whims and their likes like this. And this leads to the other condition, is that a person, he will not take more than his right. If he is forced to go to the courts that rule with other than the rule of Allah, and they judge for him on his behalf, it's only allowed for him to take his right, his legislative right. Any that which is legislated and lawful in Islam, he will take this much. So if the courts ruled, for example, that he is paying this large amount of money for child support, for example, that is not normal, and that is not from the customs, and not something that is prescribed in Islam, and it's greater than that, it's not allowed for her to take that money. It's not allowed for her to take that money. Or if there's a dispute in a car case or in an injury, or whatever the case may be, and the rule is for that person, and the judge rules for him to have a lump sum of so much and so much, thousands of dollars, then it's only allowed for that person to take what is lawful in Islam. What is lawful in Islam. If it's more than that, he must not take that. Or if he takes it, he has to make tahallus and get rid of that. It's not allowed for him to have that money. It's not allowed for him to have that money or those rights. This is a summarization of what has preceded. So the author, he says, بَابُ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ وَيُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُمْ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا الآيات. So the Shaykh, he says, the chapter with regards to the statement of Allah the Most High, have you not seen those who claim that they believe in that which is revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and believe in that which is revealed before you. And they want to take their disputes to solve their disputes and take them to the ta'ud, to the false judges. To the false judges. What is intended here by the ta'ud? Meaning those who rule with other than the rule of Allah. With other than the rule of Allah. And they have been commanded to disbelieve in that. You need to refuse that and to reject that and to belie that. You need to disbelieve in the ta'ud. Is an obligation of faith. Yani is an obligation of faith in all of the aspects. The ta'ud in general is anything that is worshipped besides Allah. كُلُّ مَا عُبِدَ مَنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فُهُوَ طَاغُوتٌ. This is the general meaning. Anything that's worshipped besides Allah in any aspect is called ta'ud. What is intended here are those false judges who rule with other than the rule of Allah. Who rule with other than the rule of Allah. And we have been ordered to disbelieve in that, to disbelieve in those judges, and to disbelieve in their ruling, and to stay away from that and avoid that. To stay away from that and avoid that. To stay away from that and avoid that. And then Allah, He says, and Shaytan, he wants to mislead you and misguide you and far away from the truth. Far away from the truth. After this, the verses continue. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَسُدُّونَ عَنكَ صُدُودًا. And whenever it said to them, come to that which Allah has revealed and to the Messenger, then you will see the hypocrites turning away from you in a great manner. يَسُدُّونَ عَنكَ صُدُودًا يَنِ يُعْرِضُونَ عَنكَ إِعْرَاضًا. Turning away from you. And this is the case. Whenever they are called to that which Allah has revealed, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَسُدُّونَ عَنكَ صُدُودًا. Whenever they're called to that which Allah has revealed and to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will see the hypocrites turning away from you in a great manner, running away and fleeing away from you and disliking that. So this is a clarification that this is the attribute of the hypocrites, and these verses are about the hypocrites, and he specifically the pure hypocrites, those who disbelieve in Allah azza wa jal and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is their attribute, that whenever they're called to the book of Allah to solve their dispute and to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they turn away from that and they reject that, and they go to other than the book of Allah to solve their disputes, yani intentionally, and they're not pleased with the ruling of Allah. So therefore they're not happy to go to those who rule with the rule of Allah. Rather, they want the rule of other than Allah. This is major disbelief. And these evidences here, they clarify this. فكيف إذا أصابتهم مصيبة بما قدمت أيديهم ثم جاءوك يحلفون بالله إن أرادنا إلا إحسانا وتوفيقا. And then Allah, he says after this, that how about whenever a calamity befalls them? How about whenever a catastrophe or calamity befalls them because of that which their hands have worked? They will come to you and they will swear by Allah that they only want to bring reconciliation, that they're only trying to work good. And this is the way of the hypocrites likewise, that they follow their evil and their falsehood, and then whenever they're exposed, they claim, oh, we only want good. We're only trying to do good. We're only trying to bring reconciliation. We're only trying to keep ties. And the likes like this, we want to do good. We want to keep it the good ties between us and between you and between the disbelievers and between the Muslims. We want to rectify between the two. We want to unite between the two. We want to follow both ways and the likes like this. And it's all falsehood and they lie about these affairs. And they lie about these affairs. So the obligation is to obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These verses, they continue in a beautiful manner in Surah An-Nisa. And he from them after that, and he briefly, Allah, he mentions, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We have not sent a messenger except he should be obeyed by the permission of Allah. So this is the purpose of the sending of the messengers, is obedience to Allah. And then Allah, he clarifies, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. I swear by your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they will not truly believe until they make you a judge in everything that they dispute amongst themselves. And everything that they dispute amongst themselves. حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. And then they will not find any resistance or hardship or hard feelings in their hearts any to that which you have decreed, and they submit and surrender to that. So this is from the obligations of faith. So this is what the author is referring to now. The danger of going to those who rule with other than the rule of Allah to solve the disputes. This is the way of the hypocrites. This is hypocrisy, truthfully. From that which Tawheed requires and necessitates, from the statement, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, this requires and necessitates that one believes that Allah's rule is best, and that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam judges with is the best, and to take that as a means to solve every dispute. To solve every dispute. So the author, he says, wa qawlihi, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. And whenever it's said to them, he mentions another verse, rahimahullah, whenever it's said to them, and meaning the hypocrites also, these verses here are likewise about those pure hypocrites in Medina at that time. And whenever it's said to them, do not cause corruption in the earth, do not work corruption in the earth, they say, oh, we're only rectifying, we're only good doers, we're only people who are bringing rectification. So this is from their way, that the hypocrites, they work fasad, and they work corruption, and they try to disguise their corruption in the image of rectification, and they claim that they're doing good, and they claim that they're only helping out, and they claim that they're only bringing about goodness and rectification and reconciliation, but in reality they're working corruption, and they're sowing discord, and they're causing problems, and then this is their affair. They decorate their falsehood and their evil in the picture of goodness and rectification. And this is from the foul and despicable and lowly ways. And this is from the ways of the hypocrites. The point of the author here is to clarify that this is the issue here. From the greatest facet that the hypocrites, they work, is that they call to التحكم إلى غير ما أنزل الله. That they call to solve the disputes with other than the rule of Allah. From the greatest of fasad is ruling with other than the rule of Allah. From the greatest of fasad is to judge with other than that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the greatest means of corruption, from the greatest means of corruption and spreading evil in the land, is to take other than the book and the sunnah as a means of solving disputes, of a means of clarifying any who has a right and who does not have a right, and the likes like this. And this is how, in reality, the land was rectified. The land is rectified. Allah, he rectified the land, and he rectified the people, and he rectified the circumstances and the situations of the people by sending the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by revealing the revelation, by sending the messengers and revealing the revelation. So it's an obligation to follow this way. And in this manner, there is rectification. And in contradiction to that is nothing but corruption. So like this, the author, he says, وَقَوْلِهِ وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدِ إِصْلَاحِهَا. And do not work corruption in the land after it's been rectified. After it's been rectified, meaning after Allah has clarified that which is allowed and that which is not allowed, that which is just and that which is oppression, and that which is good and that which is bad, and that which is truth and that which is falsehood. After Allah has sent revelation, and He has sent a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to clarify these affairs. In this manner, the land was rectified. In this manner, the circumstances and situations and the relationships in the people, they're rectified. So therefore, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Any by ruling with other than the rule of Allah. And by taking judges and rulers who to solve the disputes, who rule with other than the rule of Allah. Because this is from the greatest means to work corruption in the land. And to bring evil and to spread falsehood through the lands. Then the author, he says, وَقَوْلِهِ أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبَغُونَ الْآيَةِ أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبَغُونَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. So Allah, he says in this verse, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبَغُونَ. Do they prefer, and يطلبون, يريدون, do they want to have the rule of ignorance? The rule of ignorance. Meaning the rule of the day is of ignorance. That which is considered a jahiliyyah is everything that's contrary to the legislation. And specifically, the times of jahiliyyah, what the people were upon in general, before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the time of jahiliyyah. But the general meaning of jahiliyyah is everything. Everything that is contrary to the legislation of al-Islam. Everything that is in conflict with the legislation of al-Islam is called jahiliyyah. Everything that is in opposition to that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is considered jahiliyyah. So, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. Do they want the ruling of jahiliyyah? Is this what they're seeking? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِكَوْمٍ يُوْقِنُونَ. And who is better than Allah in judging? Who has a judgment better than Allah? Who? Any for those who have certainty. Who has a better judgment than Allah for those who have certainty? Meaning no one. Those who have certainty, they know that no one has a better judgment than the judge of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the creator and disposer of the affairs. He is the one who has created the slaves. He has created the creation. He knows what's best for His creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just as He has the universal decree, and nothing happens in His universe except for with permission and His will, and His knowledge and His wisdom. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, also He has the legislative decree. No judgment should occur or ruling should be established except with His permission, because He is the most knowledgeable and wise, tabaraka wa ta'ala, with regards to the affairs of His creation. And likewise, He has the judgment with regards to retribution and with regards to punishment and recompense, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So those people who have certainty in these affairs, in the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in His lordship, and in his command and His decree, and His right to be worshipped and singled out with obedience, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise to follow His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they know that the ruling of Allah is best in every affair. They know that the ruling of Allah is best in every affair. So if a calamity befalls them, or some hardship befalls them in their wealth and their property, or in their loved ones and their lives like this, they will submit and they will have certainty. They know that it's from Allah and that it's good. Even if they understand it or do not understand it, they all know that it is good, that this is the best thing, that this is what Allah had decreed universally, that this affair will happen, that this death will occur to this loved one, or this loss of life or property. A believer, he has certainty that this command is good. That this command is good, it's the decree of Allah. And likewise, that which Allah has ruled in His book and in His sunnah with regards to the halal and the haram, with regards to permissible and impermissible, a believer has certainty that all of this is good. He has certainty that all of this is good. And he loves that. And he is certain about this affair. And likewise, that which Allah has decreed in His judgment with regards to the recompense, those whom He rewards in this life and the hereafter, and those whom He punishes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this is good. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِكَوْمٍ يُقِنُونَ. And who is better than Allah in judging for those who have certainty? Meaning nobody is better than Allah. And this is a question here, but what it means is to establish, there's no one better than Allah in judging. So after this, the author, he says, and Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَبَعًا لِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ. The author, he says, rahimahullah, now it's been narrated from Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that not one of you truly believes, ayat iman al wajib, not one of you truly believes until his desires are following behind that which I have come with. Until his desires are following behind, yani in a line with that which I have come with. The author, he says, qala an-Nawawi, رحمه الله حديث صحيح رويناه في كتاب الحجة بإسناد صحيح. The author, he says this narration, that An-Nawawi, he mentioned that this narration is authentic and we have been narrated this narration in the book Al-Hujjah with an authentic chain. The people of knowledge, they have differed with regards to the chain of this narration. And some of the people of knowledge, they have declared it to be authentic from them in Nawawi. And others, they have declared it to be weak, the chain of this narration to be weak. But many of the people of knowledge, likewise, even those who declared the chain to be weak, have mentioned that the meaning is correct. From them, Shaykh Ibn Baz and Shaykh Al-Fawzan and other than that. Yani, likewise, Ibn Rajab, he established this affair. Yani in Jami' Ulum al-Hikam, that the meaning is correct. Yani, and the meaning is supported by many evidences. From them, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. This is the meaning of this narration. Yani, this narration and that verse, they have the same meaning. لَا يُؤْمِنُوا أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَبَعًا لِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ. أي يعني ميله. Yani a person, he does not truly believe until his inclination, his desires, and that which he wants is in accordance to that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. So this is the fear of a believer, his desire and that which he wants and he hopes for, that which he desires and that which he is inclined to, it's an obligation for that to be following behind that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is in accordance with that he wants what Allah has decreed, and he wants what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has legislated, and what has come in the Quran and the Sunnah. This is what he desires, and this is what he's looking for, and this is what he's hoping for, and this is what he follows. And the faith will not be complete until this is the case. So this is clear, and he is supporting of what the author he is mentioning. Then he says, وَقَالَ الشَّعْبِ كَانَ بَيْنَ رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَرَجُلٍ مِنَ الْيَهُودِ خُصُومًا فَقَالَ الْيَهُودِ نَتَحَكَمُ إِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ عَرَفَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَأْخُذُ الرِّشْوَةَ وقال المنافق نتحاكم إلى اليهود لعلمه أنهم يأخذون الرشوة فاتفقا أن يأتيا كاهنا في جهينة فيتحاكمان إليه فنزلت ألم ترى إلى الذين يزعمون الآية. So the author, he says, that الشعبي he said رحمه الله, he's from the Tabi'in. الشعبي, he died in the year 109, and he's from the Tabi'in. His name is Amr ibn Sharahil, and he's from the great scholars of hadith, but he's from the Tabi'in. He said, rahimahullah, that there was a man from the hypocrites and a man from the Jews. They had a dispute. So the Jew, he said, let's take our dispute to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he doesn't take bribes. And the hypocrite, he said, let's take our dispute to the Jews, because he knows that the Jews, they take bribes. So they agreed. They agreed to go to a fortune teller from the tribe of Juhayna to solve their dispute. So this verse was revealed. The verse and the title of the chapter. Have you not seen those who claim that they believe in that which was revealed to you, and revealed to those before, and revealed before you, seeking to take their judgment to the false judges? It's mentioned here that the right was for the Jew in this particular narration. The right was for the Jew. And this is why he wants to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he knows that Prophet Muhammad will rule with justice, and he knows that the right is his. So this is why the Jew, in this circumstance, he wants to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he knows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't take bribes, and that he will judge with that which is just and that which is proper. So he wants his right back. So this is why he wants to go there. As for the munafiq, then he doesn't have the right. The right is not for him. He's trying to get over on that person. He knows if he goes to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will not be able to do that, because he doesn't take bribes. But if he goes to the Jews, they take bribes, so he can bribe them to get his right. He can bribe them and he can coerce them and the likes like this, and pay them off in order to win the dispute. So this is the reason what is mentioned here. But it's clear, yani Ash-Sha'bi, he's narrating an event that occurred in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he never met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's from the Tabi'in. So no doubt there's some weakness in this narration. And after this, the author, he says, وقيلة. And it's been mentioned as well. An indication that also this narration has weakness in it. نزلت في رجلين اختصما. فقال أحدهما نترافع إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال الآخر إلى كعب بن الأشرف. ثم ترافع إلى عمر رضي الله عنه فذكر له أحدهما القصة. فقال للذي لم يرضى برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكذلك؟ قال نعم. فضربه بالسيف فقتله. And it's been mentioned, yani an indication likewise that this narration has a weakness in it, that this verse was revealed about two men. They had a dispute, and one of them, he said, let's take our dispute to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other one, he said, no, let's go to Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf, yani from the leaders of the Jews. And so they took the affair to Umar. And then they mentioned to Umar their dispute and the story about them and deciding to go here or there. And then Umar, he said to the one, he said, is that true? You were not pleased with the judgment of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he said, yes, that's right. So Umar, he struck him in the neck with a safe and killed him. He struck him in the neck with a safe and killed him. These narrations, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the chains are weak. But they're very well known to the people of knowledge, and they have been narrated with a number of different chains, yani indicating that the story has yani some authenticity to it, and Allah knows best. But the issue here with the second narration, the people of knowledge, they mention the whole story is what occurred is that they disputed. These two people, they disputed, and they went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he ruled for them, and the hypocrite, he was not pleased, he was not satisfied with that rule, so he sought for Abu Bakr to rule. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go to Abu Bakr and let him rule for you. So then they went to Abu Bakr, and then they told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu the affair, and Abu Bakr, he said, I will never rule for you after the Prophet already ruled. I'm never going to rule in a dispute between two people that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam already had ruled in your affair. And there's no place for me to judge now. So he said, go to Umar. So they went to Umar. And at this time, whenever they reached Umar, Umar asked them about the affair. And whenever he verified that the hypocrite, he said, yeah, I was not pleased with the ruling of the Messenger. Like this, we came to you to rule for us. I'm not accepting his rule like this. So he went into his house and he came out with his safe and he hit him with it and killed him in this manner. This is what is mentioned in the narration. Allah knows best. Umar, he understood from this. And after the Prophet ﷺ judged and he sent him to Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr, he mentioned the likes like this, that the reason why they sent him to Umar was to take care of this affair. And that this person, he had already rejected the rule of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this manner like this. So this is what was required from him, and this is why he did that. In any case, these narrations, they have some weaknesses in them. The point is to clarify that this is major disbelief. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will rule and judge in an affair, and a believer will reject that. And he will dislike that. This is major disbelief with the adhu billah. So what is incumbent is to accept the rule of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all circumstances, and to love that, and to comply to that, to love that, to accept that, and to comply to that. So the author, he says, fihi masail. We close the chapter. In this chapter, there are issues, and there are benefits, and the like. Said ula tafsiru ayat an-nisa wa ma fiha min al-iyanati ala fahm al-taghut. The first issue is that the interpretation of the verse an-nisa. And that in this chapter, in this verse, there it will help one to understanding the meaning of Tawud. So some people, they may misunderstand the issue of a Tawud, and they believe it's only to be an idol, for example. But that's not the case. An idol is definitely a Tawud. But the Tawagit are many. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned the best definition, كُلُّ مَتَجَاوَزَ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ حَدَّهُ مِنْ مَعْبُودٍ أَوْ مَتْبُوعٍ أَوْ مُطَاعٍ. Everything that caused the person to transgress the limits with regards to an object of worship, or one that is followed, or one that is obeyed. In this manner, a person, he has taken that thing as a tawhut. Anything that causes a person to transgress the limits with regards to an object of worship, or with regards to someone who is followed, he transgressed the limits in that. That person, he took him as a tawhut. It's a tawhut for him. and likewise in obedience. He obeyed him to the extent that he transgressed the limits. In that obedience, this is any of the aspect of a ta'ud. So the point is now is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he called those false judges tawagheet, yani ta'ud. So therefore it's very clear now that ta'ud is not just idols, rather there are many aspects. There are many aspects. الثانية تفسير آية البقرة. The second benefit or masala is the interpretation of the verse in Baqarah. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. We have seen that. Whenever it's said to them, do not cause corruption in the earth. And this is the way of the hypocrites. From the greatest corruption that they cause in the earth is ruling and judging with other than that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and taking the rule to those who rule in this manner. Taking the judgment to solve the disputes any to those who were with other than the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الثالثة تفسير آية العراف. The interpretation of the verse of Al-A'raf. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. And do not work corruption in the land after it's been rectified. And it's similar to that which has preceded. That Allah, He rectified the land and rectified the affairs with the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the ways to rectify yani the circumstances is to judge with what was revealed to him, to judge and to solve disputes according to that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And working corruption after it's been rectified is to oppose that and to judge and to seek a judgment with other than the book and the sunnah. Al-Rabi'a tafsiru afa hukm al-jahiliyyati yabghun. And the fourth masala is the interpretation of, are they seeking other than the rule of Allah? Or are they seeking the ruling of ignorance? Is this what they're seeking? And the interpretation of this has proceeded. الخامسة ما قاله الشعبي بسبب نزول الآية الأولى. And the fifth mas'ala is that which الشعبي had mentioned, rahimahullah, and the reason of why the first verse was interpreted. السادسة تفسير الإيمان الصادق والكاذب. The sixth benefit and mas'ala is the interpretation of the true faith and the false faith. The true faith and the false faith. The true faith is the one who accepts the ruling of Allah and believes in the ruling of Allah, and that is the best, and complies to that and follows that and has no hard feelings in his heart from that, and he submits to that. And the false faith is the one who says that he believes, but he does not rule with that, and he does not seek to rule with that. And this is what any that was mentioned in the first verse. أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يَنِي يَدَّعُونَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ يُرِيدُونَ يَتَحَاكُمُ لِلطَّاغُوتِ. And so this is from the false. They claim that they believe, but they want to go to the false judges to solve their disputes. They claim they believe in that which is revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which is revealed before him. But whenever they want to solve their disputes, they want to go to the false judges who judge with other than that which is revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is al-iman al-kadhib. This is false. This is not true faith. This is not true faith. This is not true faith. Whenever there is a judgment or a dispute between people, and they can either go to the imam of the masjid or they can go to the court. Which one is obligatory? To go to the imam of the masjid. يُرِدُونَ أَنْ يَتَحَاكَمُوا. They say that they believe in that which is revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but then whenever the dispute comes, if the imam is not going, they know that the imam, he's not going to rule for one of them. He's going to rule according to the judgment of Allah. He's going to listen to both of them, and then he's going to say, your right is this and your right is that. One of the people, they want more than that. They don't want to suffice with that, so that's why they will go to the court system. That's why this verse here, this issue here is for that situation. This issue here is for that situation. So this is something here in America we should be aware of. This is something here in America that we should be aware of. That we won't just rush to get a lawyer and take somebody to court, yani, and the likes like this. This is something very dangerous. This is something very dangerous. A believer's religion is at stake. Al-Iman al-Sadiq wa al-Iman al-Kadhib. This affair determined between the two. This, if you claim you believe in that which is revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's an obligation to judge with that, and to go to those who judge with that, and to solve the dispute according to that, and to avoid going to judge to solve that dispute with anyone who contradicts that. That's not allowed, to go to them to solve their disputes. They don't even believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How are they going to solve their disputes? They don't even know about istinja. They don't even know about istinja. What is istijma? They don't even have these simple affairs in life to keep their body clean. How are they going to solve the dispute for you and for me? Allahumma musta'an. Allahumma musta'an. Saba qissatu Umar ma al-munafiq. The seventh benefit is the story of Umar with the hypocrite, and which has preceded. Thamina. كون الإيمان لا يحصل لأحد حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the eighth masala is the fact that iman will not occur properly, and a true faith will not be realized for anyone until his desires, his inclination, that which he wants and hopes for, is in accordance with that which the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم came with. Is in accordance with that which the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم came with. Even though this narration has weakness in the chain, the meaning is amazing, and the meaning is true. And this is something to ponder over, that a believer, he should hope that his desires and everything he wants is in according to that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he'll work for that. He will work to be upon that way. This is what he wants for himself. Even if his desires sometime overcome him, he'll repent and feel bad from that. But what does he want to do? He wants to take Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a role model. Every Muslim, he should tell himself this, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's my role model. His way is the best way. There's no way better than that. I want to follow that way. I hope that I can follow that way. Oh Allah, help me be sincere in following that way. This is an incumbent, anything a believer will have it in his heart. And if we want this affair, inshallah, truthfully, Allah will make it easy. Allah will make it easy. But there will be tests. There will be trials. There will be events, circumstances where a believer's faith will be tested. Situation might get hot for a minute. But if you bear that heat, for the sake of Allah, it will become easy and smooth. Bidni Allahi Ta'ala. May Allah give us success. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.